Take that up at the end, maybe, rather than at the beginning, because the others don't require four. Okay, well, council will return to order, please, for our afternoon session. Would you call the roll, please, Carl?
Fritz?
Here.
Fish? Saltzman? Novick?
Here.
Hales?
Here. I think at least one of our colleagues is going to join us, but we'll go ahead and proceed, because we can, with three of us. So let's take items. Do you want to take these two together, Commissioner Novick?
Yes, please.
Okay, so let's read these both together.
Item 242, assess benefited properties for improvements in the Northrop Loop Streetcar Alignment Local Improvement District. And item 243, assess benefited properties for improvements in the Portland Streetcar Loop Extension Local Improvement District.
Commissioner Novick.
Our topic today might be titled Streetcar LIDs and sticker shock, or rather efforts to avoid sticker shock. As you all know, the Portland streetcar is one of the tools that helps us achieve our land use and transportation goals and maintain a livable, vibrant city. A tool noted by economist Joe Courtwright as one of the reasons that all of these brilliant young people flock to Portland, because we were the first to have the streetcar. The Portland Streetcar Loop extension opened in September 2012 and expanded streetcar service from the west side to the east side, linking the Lloyd District and the Central East Side with the Northwest and downtown. Development of the streetcar loop required the participation of many stakeholders and funding sources: federal small starts dollars, urban renewal funds, transportation system development charges, other state and federal grants, and two local improvement districts. These LIDs represent a key piece of the local grant match, totaling $15.5 million, about 10.5% of the $148.3 million project. The complicated issue before us today is the assessment methodology for the LID assessment for, let's see, what do we call it again?
East Side.
Central East Side, as opposed to Northrop. What happened was the LID assessment estimates that were sent to property owners in 2007, which were based on the real market values then current, are significantly different from what people would receive now if we based their assessments on their current real market values, because the real market values have shifted significantly. Sometimes, you know, the market value is increasing and sometimes decreasing. After analysis and outreach led by Portland Streetcar, Inc., which we'll hear from, the project team proposed that the current RMVs be adjusted to more equitably distribute the assessment burden in accordance with the special project benefits contemplated when the LID was formed in 2007. In other words, we decided to come up with some way to soften the impact on property owners that would otherwise have wound up paying a lot more than they expected, and to ask the property owners whose real market values have gone down to pay something closer to what they would have paid in 2007 and somewhat more they would pay based on a strict assessment of real market value today. On February 6th, notice letters were mailed to property owners, and since then, project team members have been meeting with stakeholders, answering questions, providing information. And today's public hearing is the next step in moving towards final assessment of properties within the LIDs. There will be a brief staff introduction for each LID, then testimony from Portland Streetcar, Inc., and everyone who's added their name to the sign-in sheet. And I will now turn it over to Catherine Levine and Chris Smith.
Good afternoon. I'm Catherine Levine with Portland Transportation.
Chris Smith, a member of the PSI board.
And we will do the Northrop LID hearing first. It's the smaller of the two, the $550,000 LID. Chris has a brief presentation, and after which I'd like to just provide you with a quick overview of the LID before turning to testimony.
Good afternoon. Chris Smith. Member of the Planning and Sustainability Commission and also the Portland Streetcar Inc. Board. I was one of the ringleaders for this particular LID, although I have to credit most of the leadership to my late colleague Ann Niles, who was really the one who put her foot down and said, if we're going to run streetcar to the east side, it has to serve the North Pearl. The original design would have basically kept the streetcar on Lovejoy and not provided a station further north in the Pearl. And as we know, there's lots of intended development still to come in the North Pearl. This extension also essentially future-proofed the streetcar, which was really why I got involved. It provides for a couple of movements that would not have been possible in the original design, including running through trains from my neighborhood in Northwest to the east side, There would be a considerable amount of outer direction travel to do that in the original design. And it also allows for the possibility of a 10th and 11th Street shuttle running from Market Street to Northrop Street and back, which during our crush loads in the afternoon may be a very useful facility at some point. So I want to credit Ann for her vision and foresight in making this happen. We'll also point out that since about 18 months ago, Streetcar has been the only transit service in the North Pearl since the 77 was moved by TriMet to the Everett-Gleason corridor. I am also a property owner in this LID. I have a rental property proximate to the Northrop Loop, and will personally be happy to pay my assessment into this. If you think about where this area is situated, it's really streetcar central. You can take a streetcar from this part of the neighborhood to 23rd, to OMSI, or south to PSU. So it's the most connected place in the streetcar network, and I think finding $500,000 from property owners, which was matched by PDC, by the way, is a pretty easy ask for all the benefits that are derived by this.
Thank you. I'm wondering if we could. I wanted to be able to show you a map of the LID area. I'll just skip ahead. So it stretches from Northwest Lovejoy to Northwest Quimby, both sides of 9th over to 14th. Specific improvements by the LID include the trackway, the overhead electrification, the streetcar stop, the traffic and train signals, utility and street work, as well as improvements to the Lovejoy-Northrop couplet and the Northwest Marshall Bicycle Boulevard. As Chris indicated, the original improvements were estimated to cost $1.7 million, and three sources were brought together: project contingency, River District Urban Renewal Funds, and this LID for $550,000. Notices were mailed to property owners on February 6th to inform them of the proposed final assessment. Approximately 900 notices were sent. There were four written objections received, representing 0.07% of the total LID. Each of these objections are more specifically summarized and addressed in Exhibit D. The objections to the assessment range from traffic and operations concerns to opposition to paying for a system that the particular resident does not use. The proposed final assessment on each of these properties is $100.
Excuse me.
This is a one-time assessment, not an ongoing expense. The assessments are based on the special benefits received by the properties within the LID now and in the future. And the completed streetcar capital improvements have increased transit access to each of these properties. After you've taken public testimony at the end of the hearing on the LID, I would ask council to add to the ordinance package by amendment the Exhibit D that has been handed out here today.
Okay, great. Questions for Chris
or Ms. Levine?
Great. Thank you both.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So now we'll open the public hearing. Is there anyone signed up to speak?
Yes, this one.
Okay, sorry. Moment for logistics.
I have four people on 243, and the first three, please come on up, are Debbie Kitchen, Bill Goldman, and Jim Morton.
Carla, may I ask that we hold that testimony until that second hearing?
We've got to do one hearing at a time? All right, we'll do 242 then first.
Thank you. Are there
anybody signed up on 242?
No.
Okay. Then we'll close the public hearing on 242, and now why don't you explain 243 to us?
Great. The second hearing is for the Portland Streetcar Loop Extension LID, and I will put up a map of that area as well. Portland Streetcar Incorporated Chair Jim Mark is here to speak with you, and there is a sign-up sheet for everyone who wishes to testify to council about the LID. After Mr. Mark speaks, I'd like to provide you with a short overview of the LID and the objections to the proposed assessment.
Okay, great. Welcome, Jim.
Hi.
My name is Jim Mark. I'm the chair of Portland Streetcar Inc., 111 Southwest Columbia, Portland, Oregon. The Portland City Council approved the establishment of the local improvement district in 2007. The property owners from the east side committed $15 million to support the $148 million streetcar project. As a result of this commitment, the state of Oregon awarded us a $20 million grant and PDC $27 million toward the project, and the Federal Transit Administration committed $75 million to the east side line. The project began construction in 2009. We opened the loop in September of 2012. The project was completed within the original budget. In fact, some federal funds may actually be returned as the final accounting is performed on the project. The CL loop, or the Central Loop as it's known, has been well received and is beginning to show the success projected for it. Ridership started at 3,200 riders a day and has grown to over 6,300 riders per day. Over 1,000 units have been completed or are under construction on the east side. We are in preparation for the final step in completing the loop with the opening of the light rail bridge in September 2015, thus connecting the streetcar loop between the east side and the west side. PSI has been working closely with the City of Portland in developing a modification approach for this assessment. The recommendation from the city to adjust real market values based upon a proportion of the 2007 data is an important accommodation to Central East Side property owners. I'd also like to add, as many of you know, I stepped in for Dick Cooley, who should have been chair of Portland Streetcar Inc., and he passed away a couple weeks ago. One of Dick's comments, and Rick reminded me, was, and I'll sort of quote, "This assessment on my property is less than 1%, and I predict the day that the streetcar is announced, my property value will grow by more than 1%. This is the best investment I can make for my property." Thank you.
The streetcar LID was formed in 2007, so there has been a passage of time and some economic changes in the interim, and that plays into the issue regarding the assessments. Here's a map of the LID area. It stretches from North Tillamook and Northeast San Rafael down to Southeast Division, from 8th Avenue and Northeast 10th to 1st Avenue and the Willamette River. Specific improvements within the LID include trackway, overhead electrification, streetcar stops, traffic and train signals, utility and street work, as well as improvements to the streetcar maintenance facility. The adopted methodology refers to real market value of properties, except that individual assessments will not be less than the rate of 60 cents per square foot of land area. Essentially, that sets a minimum for the assessments. Properties in Zone A, that's the darker green directly on the line, 100%, Zone B, 50%. Properties in zones designated as industrial sanctuary, 67% of their zone. Properties in residential uses, regardless of zoning, are 50% of their zone. As mentioned, the assessment methodology refers to real market value of properties. Between the time the assessments were made, in 2007, and the final proposed assessments in 2013, there was considerable change, and I'll be able to show you some data on that. After an analysis and outreach led by Portland Streetcar Inc., the project team proposed the current real market values be adjusted to more equitably distribute the assessment burden in accordance with the estimates done in 2007. Notices were mailed to property owners on February 6th to inform them of the proposed final assessment amount on their property. Approximately 1,100 notices were sent. There were 22 written objections received. They represent 4.4% of the LID total assessment. These objections are more specifically summarized and addressed in Exhibit D. The objections to the assessments cover a range of issues and concerns. There's objection to using a real market value methodology at all, objections to higher assessments on newly developed properties, the negative impact of the assessment on small business, there are requests for more time to review the adjustment, there are requests for exemptions and corrections, and more that you will hear about today. The staff recommendation reflects a summary of all of the objections as well as recommendations. The assessment is a one-time assessment, not an ongoing expense. The proposed final assessments are based on the special benefit received by the properties now and in the future. The completed streetcar capital improvements have increased transit across access to each of these properties. And at the time of final assessment with billing, the city auditor's office will offer 5, 10, and 20-year financing to property owners. After you close the public hearing, I would ask council to add by amendment the Exhibit D, Summary of Objections and Staff Responses.
And we didn't do this on the previous ordinance, but do we need to formally overrule the objections, or does simply bringing it forward for a second reading and vote automatically do that?
I believe if you add Exhibit D, the amendment, that includes a recommendation to overrule.
Okay.
But then I would expect that as council, you would vote on that recommendation.
Right, right. We will. But we don't have to take a separate motion to overrule, I don't think. Or do we? No. Okay. It's implicit. All right. Got it. I have a question. I should know the answer to this, but don't. And that is, so you have this methodology that has the two zones closest to the line at 100% and farther away at 50%, and then a second screen of what your zoning is.
That's correct.
So if that zoning is changed, which it might be in some cases by the council later this year in revising the comp plan, mm-hmm. does the property owner have a change in the assessment, or is it locked down at this point based on the current zoning?
It's my understanding the assessments are made at a point in time. And at this point in time, the zoning is what it is, and that's what the assessment will be based on.
Okay. All right. Good to know. Thank you.
So looking through some of the objections, there is an objection because a property owner's property is zoned open space, objection from a nonprofit housing corporation, mm-hmm. but because it's a nonprofit, we don't make any distinction between nonprofits or open space zones or anything like that?
The methodology did not include any exemptions based on the characteristics of the owner. So whether they're public, private, or nonprofit, as a landowner, they've still received an assessment. I believe in that case, the nonprofit owns property that is housing related, so it has the housing designation and the 50% discount.
Oh, so there is a 50% discount?
Right. So part of the methodology included the 50% properties and residential use, regardless of zoning, 50% of the LID, Zone A or B assessment.
Okay, thanks.
That's correct.
So has the total amount of this LID increased since 2007?
No, it was formed in 2007 for $15 million, and the assessment is for approximately $15 million, no more.
So for some of the properties, the fair market value has gone up, and for some it went down, or how does that balance out?
That's, as you noted, the $15 million is spread across the properties within the LID. And approximately 44% of them are based on the land value, the minimum level. And about 56, over half, are assessed based on the real market value. If you look at those properties, I believe it is 19% saw an actual decrease and 81% saw an increase. So there was a shift among the properties of assessments.
And how many of the properties benefited from the 30% offset?
I do not know that number, but I can find out where it made a difference numerically, how many it affected. There were, I suspect it's not a terribly large number, but I will find out. It was an attempt to blunt the highs and the lows of change.
Thank you.
Great. Other questions for Jim? Good. Thank you both.
Thank you very much.
And we do have some folks signed up to testify on this, Carla.
Yes, there are four people. The first three, please, coming up are Debbie Kitchen, Bill Goldman, and Jim Morton.
Good afternoon and welcome.
Okay. Thank you. Well, I'm Debbie Kitchen. I'm president of the Central East Side Industrial Council. Thank you, Mayor Hales and Commissioners, for the opportunity to speak today. I'm here to request an extension of the first reading of the ordinance for the East Side Streetcar Loop LID. The Central East Side Council has been involved in the East Side Streetcar Alignment since its inception. Although there was a question at the time of the viability of the streetcar in the CEID, there was general support for an alignment on MLK and Grand. To fund portions of that alignment, an LID was proposed. The LID would be limited to a cap of $15 million, with funding based on assessments from real market value properties for both the Lloyd District and the Central East Side. The CEIC provided outreach during the formation of the LID, again gaining general consensus to proceed with the LID. In 2007, property owners were shared the data showing the amount that would be paid based on real market value in 2007. Given the LID had a cap of $15 million, it was assumed that the final assessment would be essentially the same. This assumption was reasonable given appreciation in property value would span both districts, thus the share in the assessment would remain more or less the same. Unfortunately, this is not what has happened. Many property owners in the CEID had a substantial increase in their share of the assessment, while the Lloyd District had substantial decreases. How did this happen? CEID property owners did have some appreciated property value, as would be expected. Some also had capital improvements, but the majority had no change in use, nor did they improve their property. The change was not caused by normal market factors, but rather caused by a few large institutional properties appealing their RMV with the county. The City of Portland also recognized this shift in the total assessment to the Central East Side, and your LID has a proposed modification that's been described here to the calculation of the real market value that includes accommodations for shifts up and down from the 2007 estimated assessments. We appreciate this proposed modification and believe it goes in the right direction. We are asking just for some more time so that our members can fully understand this more recent proposed modification. We have been contacted by a number of property owners, the CEIC scheduled meetings for the last 2 weeks. And we were helped by Rick Gustafson from the Portland Streetcar and city staff to come and help explain what was happening with the assessments. We're also have a meeting scheduled for this Friday to continue the discussion. We realize there is a need to approve an assessment very soon. We understand that the city has a daily interest cost for financing this assessment. It is our intent to move as quickly as possible, and we will work directly with the Portland Streetcar Inc. and the City of Portland staff to present minor modifications that we think will be acceptable to all parties. So thank you for your consideration to postpone a vote at this time.
Thanks, Debbie.
How long do you think you would need?
I think I know they're working quickly, and
we're meeting this Friday, we may meet Friday after, but we want to resolve this quickly.
So not 2 months.
Not 2 months or 3 months. Yeah, I think we're talking about under a month or something like that.
And I've talked to staff about this, and I'll bring Catherine up afterwards to sort of explain our parameters. I think that staff's feeling was that we could extend for a week, but it would be rather difficult to go beyond that. I mean, we understand you're having the meeting this Friday, so
yes.
We thought it was important to give you that week, but it might be difficult to go much beyond that.
Well, we're only supposed to, it's not an emergency ordinance, right? So are you saying 2 weeks from today?
To extend this hearing until next week. So, yeah, we postpone the process for a week.
Right, because then you'd need to come back with a proposal.
Right.
Okay, I understand. Thank you.
Good.
All right, Mayor and Council, thank you for your time. My name is Bill Goleman. I am representing CEIC members. I'm the Vice President of the CEIC Board. I'm here to request an extension of the first reading as well and would like to add some concerns that some of our CEIC members have put to me, and I'd like to add that to the record. I've been in meetings over the last 2 weeks with many of the members of the CEIC. They have been well attended and quite helpful to educate everyone as well as myself, but the property owners still have some concerns and questions that we need to address. Two primary concerns have developed during the meetings that I'd like to talk about. Many business owners will be required to take substantial increases in their portion of the LID. We've heard from members whose portion increased 700%. For a small property owner, this is an unreasonable hardship. To make it even worse, in some cases, the properties in question have not had any further development or improvements since 2007, and yet the LID increased dramatically. These small property owners are taking on a major increase in burden due to dramatic drops for a few major property owners and institutions, and they just don't feel that it's fair. Also, all members just want to understand the methodology of the formula for the allocation of the LID. What is the formula? How can I check the math? If the expectation is that I pay based on this invoice, I would like to see how we arrived at the figures. These are the concerns of the members. I'm asking for an extension of the first reading to allow our business and property owners to understand the methodology and to further explore a solution that is fair to all concerned. Thank you.
Thank you.
Jim Morton. We own the historic Gardeners and Ranchers Association building at 1305 Southeast MLK, which is by the east end of the Hawthorne Bridge. And back in 2007, I went to a meeting that the CEIC sponsored, I believe, with an explanation from the Portland Streetcar Incorporated in regard to this LID and the methodology for the assessment. And to use Mr. Novick's words, there was sticker shock when I saw that my portion of the assessment was going to be $21,600. However, there was some comfort in knowing that there was a $15 million cap on the LID, and that $21,600 really probably wasn't going to change a lot. You know, all of the whole neighborhood was probably going to go up in value, and along with the Lloyd District, and so I got used to that $21,000. It seemed like a lot of money, but over the last 7 years, it's always been in the back of my mind. Until I got the letter, which said that they had reduced my assessment to only $37,000. And thanks to the Portland Streetcar for coming up, realizing that there was a big problem here, and moderating it. It would have been $43,000 otherwise, down to $37,000. But apparently, so I'm told, there's been a significant shift of the burden for this LID from the Lloyd District to the Central East Side. Apparently one property in the Lloyd District, real market value being reduced by $80 million. So it seemed to be inequitable to me as a single property owner. And having gone to some of these CIC meetings in the last couple of weeks, apparently there's some ideas kicking around which might have merit. And I would like to also request that a 30-day extension in this process.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thanks, all three.
Can I
use a question?
Well, I guess you both alluded to a large institutional property that had its RMV reduced. Which property was it?
The one that it comes to mind is the Rose Garden.
Oh, really? That's good.
And if I could further respond to that,
sure.
The original idea with the LID is there would be, you know, a perceived benefit to property owners, and it's unlikely that particular property owner's benefit has dramatically been reduced, and that my benefit has been dramatically increased by, say, 71%. So as far as the benefit aspect of the methodology, there's a kind of a disconnect, I think.
Okay.
And so, Debbie, well, you asked for 30 days. You asked for
an extension.
Extension.
We did not have a specific request for extension. I think we were hoping for 2 weeks to four, 2 to 4 weeks, but we didn't have a specific.
Weeks. 2 to 4 weeks before we would
vote
on this. Mm-hmm. So from today.
Well, continue. Yeah. We would want to be able to come back with a proposal, and so then it couldn't be the second hearing. It would have to an extension of the first hearing.
Okay.
All right. Well, we'll get Catherine up and look at the mechanics of that, but I understand that. Understand the desire. We'll see what we can do.
Okay.
Thank you.
Were there other large institutions apart from what's now the Moda Center?
I don't have that information.
There may have been. There was some just passing reference to in general, but and in fairness to the Lloyd District, apparently there were folks in small property owners in the Lloyd Districts whose assessment has also gone up kind of unexpectedly. Hmm. But there's some apparently some big, significant ones that change the whole mix.
Okay.
And of course, I mean, as you know, we don't control that process.
Yeah, people
it's the county
them.
That, yeah.
Right.
True. You control the methodology, however.
Yeah, right. That's right. So that's where we get to weigh in here.
And what, you know, what's the original intent, and is that intent still valid?
Okay, thank you. Appreciate that.
Thank you.
You have some others as well?
The last person who signed up was Valeria Ramirez.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Mayor, Commissioners. My name is Valeria Ramirez. I'm the Chief Operating Officer for Portland Opera. Our building is located at 211 Southeast Carruthers Street. And our property, we have two parcels. It lies directly south of OMSI and to the immediate south of the new transit hub, which lies between Old and New Water Street Avenue. I've also served on the Portland-Milwaukee Light Rail Citizens Advisory Committee since 2007. Portland Opera has been and remains a strong supporter of the PMLR project, as well as the Eastside streetcar extension, relocation of Water Avenue, and related projects. I am here today to express Portland Opera's concern regarding the timing of the notice of proposed final assessment dated February 6, 2014. Unfortunately for the Opera, this notice arrived during the recent snowstorm that impacted our production of Lucia at the Keller Auditorium, which resulted in about $80,000 in refunds, credits, and lost opportunity. The $40,000 in LID assessments, which were not included in the current budget, only add to additional contributions that must be secured in a tough financial year for the opera and for performing arts groups in general. An unbudgeted bill of $40,000 is no small thing for Portland Opera. To qualify for future grants from our largest funder, we must break even in the current year or be disqualified for funding of any kind by that funder the following year. So we have to wait it out about a year or longer. Receiving this notice more than halfway through our fiscal year adds pressure on the organization at a time when we were focused on our 50th anniversary season, which begins next fall. While financing the assessments may be available, this does not change when the expense must be booked, which I understand is likely to be before July 1st. Given the late notice of the pending final assessment and the lack of ongoing communication regarding this matter on behalf of Portland Opera and other property owners in a similar situation, including the Oregon Ballet Theater, we request that the City Council consider delaying the final assessments for the Eastside Loop until at least July 1st of this year. Thank you for your consideration.
Okay, thank you very much. Questions? Thanks. So,
I'm sorry, go ahead. I guess I'm not an accountant, not even an expert in business matters like you are here, but so you're saying the key for your grant and is when you book it? As opposed
if
to
we when, don't break even this year,
is your fiscal year like a
this
July,
fiscal
1st,
year,
July 1st type thing?
Yes, yeah. Yes, July 1st, June 30th.
Okay.
So the difference between June 30th and July 1st is huge for us, and we know that we are not alone in this.
So if you can book it after July 1st.
On July 1st.
Or even on July 1st, that makes a difference.
Yeah.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you.
Okay. All right, Catherine, I know we've got some questions, so come on back up.
Catherine, in addition to addressing what the problems would be with a significant extension of time, I just want to clarify something. I mean, in 2007, I think people were told two things. Here's the estimate of what you would pay, but also what you pay is based on real market value. So, I mean, people were informed of that at the time, right?
That is correct. The adopted methodology states that it will be based on the relation to your real market value at the time of assessment.
So in an effort to be fair here, I mean, if we decided to try to keep everybody's assessment as exactly as it was in 2007, just as people now are complaining that their assessment is larger than it should be, you know, based on the estimate, if we tried to keep it exactly as it was in 2007, then people whose real market value have gone down would complain that, well, we were told it was based on real market value. So we're trying to balance sort of two different promises here.
That's correct.
So elaborate a little bit more on the timing question. It sounds like there's some constructive conversations underway at the Central East Side Industrial Council. You know, you're working hard to inform people. They're discussing this among themselves as peers. What's the problem with a little more time in the process?
We would like an opportunity to continue meeting. As mentioned, there is another meeting scheduled for this Friday.
Yeah.
I think it would be helpful to be reporting back to council next week on the status of those discussions and any progress made. At the last meeting, there were a number of ideas brought forth, and the project team is looking at those requests. We hope to have answers back by Friday.
So one option is just to continue the hearing?
That's correct. If the hearing was continued into next week, we would be able to return to you with an update. The constraints on a long-term extension are simply that the improvements have been built. The city has expended the funds by charging a line of credit, and at some point we need to collect the assessment in order to pay that. There are financing costs every day that we have a delay. So my understanding is that both Treasury and the Auditor's Office are also working towards a bond sale, and ideally they would like to include the assessments that are financed in the bond sale later this summer. There's a scheduling challenge there.
Okay.
So when would the assessment take effect? If we were to vote on it next week, when would the assessment be due by property owners?
In working through the schedule with the Auditor's Office, my understanding is, for example, in the Northrop LAD, if the hearing closes today, you do the second reading and vote on the 19th. They would plan to have billings mailed on Friday the 21st. With the billings would be information about financing. They'd be looking for responses from property owners by April 21st, either selecting financing or making lump sum payments.
And to the particular situation of the Opera, is there any way that we can offer at least some property owners a delay, perhaps in exchange for bearing a little bit of interest cost or something? Because I understand this mandate that actually a number of our arts organizations are under from, I think it's the Miller Foundation, that says, you know, you break even, you get a major grant, and, you know, they have to plan on that basis. They're kind of a unique animal, even among the various kinds of property owners, for-profit and nonprofit, that are subject to the assessment. You got any creative ideas for how we might be able to stagger billings or otherwise be able to accommodate a few property owners that are interested in delay but understand it might, you know, it might actually cost them a little bit in terms of interest cost, but get them into a different fiscal year?
I've asked the question of the city financial folks, and again, I'm looking for an answer before a meeting on Friday.
Okay.
That was certainly one of the issues raised at our last week's meeting.
I'd actually be interested to know what is the line of credit interest for the whole package to delay it till July 1st rather than doing it now.
Yeah, we know our bond staff always want to get that last margin of.
Right. So I just want to know what that number is to weigh the options.
At a bureau level, we estimate it's a little under $500 a day for the financing cost. That's the estimate that I've seen. And that's a cost that accrues to the project, becomes a project expense.
I apologize, colleagues. I should have had Treasury here to talk about their concerns about the timeline for the bond sale, but we'll get them to talk to everybody before next week.
All right.
That $500 a day is the aggregate total of our financing costs?
Well,
or at least, as you understand it?
As I understand it, our cost is approximately $500 a day, estimated, yes.
Okay.
We know how much the bond sale is going to be for, because it's the $15 million, right?
No, as I understand it, the auditor's office looks to see who selects financing to identify the specific amount.
I see.
And the specific amount is then brought forward. That is the way it has been explained to me.
Oh, okay.
Thank you.
Okay, now I get it. All right. Well, it's really important that, I mean, if these kinds of discussions are happening, and it's happening in a collaborative way between the city and PSI and the property owners. We want to enable that up to a reasonable point, I think. And then also just because there's an unusual situation here, people's assessments having changed pretty significantly, it's pretty important that this be fair and perceived to be fair. Mm-hmm. So that's why I want to try to support that dialogue, at least for a while. So I'm certainly interested in continuing this, and we'll see if that's the sense of the council.
I agree with that.
Longer.
I'd like a little more information on the institutional properties and why their assessment has gone down so much and whether that needs to be taken into account. I mean, they were presumably counting on a particular or a ballpark number back in 2007.
Mm-hmm.
So it seems like there should be some adjustment to that as well as reshuffling within the other properties, because I think it would be a reasonable assumption for folks to say, well, yes, my real market value might go up or down, but so will everybody else's unless I do major changes on my property.
Mm-hmm. Okay. We can provide that.
On the other hand, for all we know, those institutional property owners, as of that time, were just coming to the conclusion that their properties are wildly overvalued and were planning on bringing a challenge to the county, which they were counting on succeeding.
Yeah, I'd like mm-hmm. to know more information about when that changed and why.
Okay, well, that'll give you a chance to report back on that as well. So maybe before we take action on continuing this item, we ought to take the a motion to add the Exhibit D memorandum to the ordinance.
To the Northrop package.
Yes.
Make that motion.
Second.
Roll call on the amendment, please.
Fritz?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Novick?
Aye.
Hales?
Aye. Now, is there any need to delay the Northrop package? So
no.
That one can return for second reading next week.
That's correct.
And so that's what we'll have in that case. And then we'll continue the Central East Side package, but have you report back to council next week?
Yeah.
Next week, not too soon?
I believe if we're meeting on Friday, we should be able to report back to you.
Would we have another
the
hearing
following
next
Thursday?
Week,
we can continue the hearing. That's probably the way we would do this procedurally, right?
I'm just wondering whether a week is enough for the Central East Side folks to be able to contact people.
What do you think?
We will be responding to the questions that were raised, and the meeting announcements were provided by CEIC at the time with an indication that we could meet every Friday. We actually began meeting. We met last Friday. We'll meet again this Friday. So
they
I believe
also
the
referenced
notice
a meeting the following Friday, which would be after, if we have another hearing next week, we'll mm-hmm. continue this hearing next week. That only gives one meeting to come to consensus. I appreciate that deadlines are always helpful, but mm-hmm. that might be a little swift.
Commissioner, I think that what we could do is, I mean, we will get some additional feedback based on the Friday meeting, and also we will talk to Treasury and have them come around to our offices and explain whether they think there's a significant difference in whether we move ahead after 1 week or after 2 weeks or what have you.
So you'll go ahead and continue it for a week?
Then you continue it for a week, and then we can reevaluate based on the information we've gotten in that intervening week.
No certainty that we'll act in the next hearing, but it will continue on to the regular council calendar next week then. Okay. And meanwhile, if there's not enough information or not enough time, we can continue it again.
Right.
Does that work?
Or if based on the discussion on Friday and follow up with the community, you could let the commissioner know if there's not consensus to move forward next week and delay it another week.
I don't know if it's simply a matter of consensus within the community. I think, I want to hear from Treasury about their concerns about their bond sale. So what we will do is report back as to what the results of the conversations are with the Central East Side, and report back as to Treasury's concerns, then we collectively decide next week where we go from there. Hopefully we have reached consensus. If we have not, we figure out what we do with the absence of consensus.
And we'll hear from the community again next week then.
It might be more consensus, but not universal. I don't think there's been a streetcar LID yet in which we didn't make a couple of people wealthier over their objections, but this may be a first. We appreciate what you're doing at the CEIC to try to broker some understanding here, so we want to enable that. Okay, so I think there's agreement about that. Go ahead.
I'm just wondering, are there any time certains left in the morning?
We're up to 10:45 already, and that's a 30-minute, and we're not having the afternoon because of the evening hearing. So,
right.
Unless
okay, so maybe we'll just have it late. It'll be late on the calendar on Wednesday morning. Then.
Wednesday morning's regular agenda next week.
Yeah.
Is that?
Sorry about that. No time.
I mean, hold on a second. I mean, I'm a little concerned given that just this morning we had people from Gateway, who waited till 12:45 to testify on a LID proposal. I don't want to do that.
Yeah,
to these citizens
point.
Here.
Can we do it?
I want a time certain.
So you want to go to?
If we have to bump somebody.
Do you want to do a 2 p.m., a real quick 2 p.m. then?
No.
So it'd be, if we had to.
Not if we're doing an evening budget hearing.
Okay, yeah. So I've got a financial audit from the auditor's office at 9:30, building equity in construction from the mayor's office at 10, and then I have Commissioner Fritz's Colwood property acquisition at 10:45.
Why don't we
so
delay
if you want to bump one of those.
Building equity and construction item a week.
Okay, so move Catherine's items.
Give this the 10 a.m. time certain.
Okay.
Unless that's going to create a catastrophe in my office, we'll plan on that.
They'll tell you later.
I'll find out about it soon enough. Okay, so we'll continue this 1 week to a 10 a.m. time certain next week. Thank you all. Now, before we adjourn, we have one bit of council housekeeping business, which is that the ordinance requires if we're going to have an evening hearing next Wednesday that we have to act on that. So, Commissioner Fritz, would you like to make that motion?
I would. So I move that we waive the 2 weeks' notice and just give 1 week's notice that we hold our afternoon hearing next week at 6 p.m. at Parkrose High School for the purpose of discussing the utility rates.
Is there a second?
Second.
Okay. Anyone want to speak on that item? Then we'll take a roll call, please.
Fritz?
Aye.
Schultzman?
Aye.
Novick?
Aye.
Hales.
Aye. Thank you for reminding us of the rules, and we are adjourned.
Better than 2 years. Next Wednesday morning.
All right. Thanks, folks.
Thank you.
Keep us posted, please.
Interesting.
I want to talk to the attorney's office about making